So hopefully, and let me know if you can hear me in the chat room, and I'll try to keep on here. But we are in week 11. This is, I apologize for the crummy beginning here as I was trying to get on, and now I'm saying in the chat room that there's no sound. No sound now. Okay, how about now? If you could, can you hear me, Dean? You said that there was no sound. And it says that I'm online. I'm on air. Flieger's going to Atlanta. And poor old Rick's trying to do it all by himself here. But anyway, it is week 11. And okay, we have some messages coming here. Hopefully that I've got this. Okay, good. He can hear me now. I feel good now. I did it. Okay, I apologize for this rotten beginning. I got kicked off, and like I said, Cole didn't show up for work. But here we are, week 11, and I'll tell you what, there are some significant player outages right now. Of course, we know Carson Palmer is out. We got Drew Stanton starting. Let's look. We have four backup quarterbacks starting right now. We got Drew Stanton starting for Arizona. Of course, Sanchez starting in place of Nick Foles. Sean Hill taking the place of Mr. Davis in St. Louis. And the most puzzling one, the head scratcher to me, is Ryan Mallett taking over for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I don't know. I think that's strange. We talked about that last week on the show. Hey, Houston, not that good. I understand that, but I don't think it's totally Ryan Fitzpatrick's fault, and they're still basically in the playoff hunt. You bring in a guy like Ryan Mallett, and, of course, now we know Arian Foster's out this week. I just think you're feeding him to the wolves right now, and I don't really see Houston. I don't think that's a move for the positive. I think they're mailing it in and seeing what they have in Ryan Mallett. I'm just not sure exactly what that's all about. But moving on, some of these other people that are out: Gio Bernard out, Arian Foster's out, Jordan Cameron out again. Yeah, Ronnie Hillman's out, and Monty Ball's probable, so he'll probably be there. But you know how much playing time he's going to get, I'm not sure. You know, because you got to have Anderson and Monty Ball coming back. You just never know. Earlier on, Reggie Bush, he wasn't real out. Jacksonville's on a bye, but Hearns and Shorts both have concussions, so we have to monitor them coming back. You know, Kerry Robinson, Pierre Thomas, both out for New Orleans. Pierre Thomas, a ribs and a shoulder injury and a forearm injury for Robinson, so it is the Mark Ingram show there. There's no question. Hey, special teams, defense special team. Pittsburgh D has 4 to 5 starters out today. And going to Tennessee. Doug Martin, of course, is out. And, Delanie Walker, questionable with a concussion. You have to monitor him as you go along. And there's a lot of injuries, and that's tough to deal with. There's no question about that. As we look at the schedule, we have, Baltimore, Dallas, Jacksonville, and the Jets all on bye. Not as bad as it was last week, that's for sure, but you still have plenty of playing there. You know, Dallas with all the weapons that they have. Baltimore, they have a few guys in there that are fantasy relevant. Jacksonville, as we mentioned, obviously Denard Robinson has become very fantasy relevant. They're on a bye, and the Jets, not a lot there. Maybe Decker, Percy Harvin, some leagues, and of course Chris Ivory and Chris Johnson in real deep leagues, but it's not nearly as bad a buy as it has been. So, you keep the question as we move along. Some of the bigger games, I think, this week are Detroit at Arizona. We'll get into some of the predictions here pretty soon later on. But, Detroit and Arizona, I think that goes a long way. You know, now we have Drew Stanton. It's Drew Stanton's show. We're not waiting on Carson Palmer to come back. So he's going to have to step up. They're 8-1, obviously number one in the league as far as record goes right now. But a lot's going to be riding on his shoulders. Philadelphia at Green Bay, the Mark Sanchez show. You know, Nick Foles won't be back. It's going to be on Sanchez's shoulders, going up to Lambeau, facing Aaron Rodgers and all the weapons that they have. That should be an interesting game. New England at Indianapolis. That's a beauty. And it's going to be interesting to see Tom Brady and Andrew Luck show have a little show down there. San Francisco at the Giants, not that big of a thriller. But San Francisco, kind of a team in flux. They're heavily favored going into this year as really contending for the West and getting to the playoffs and so on and so forth. Yeah, they're hanging on to third place right now and just not looking very good. Cincinnati at New Orleans, boy, talk about needing a bounce back. Andy Dalton, 86 yards and what, 3 picks last week? 86 yards. When's the last time an NFL quarterback played, well, I can't say he played an entire game, but played the better part of a game and had 86 yards, 3 picks. I think it was the lowest QBR since, I don't know, 61 or 62, something on that line. But they'll be looking to bounce back. In New Orleans, look, that division stinks. A win by any of these teams and they're right back in the race. Hey, Tampa Bay's won one game. They go on a 3-game winning streak. They're right back in it. It's crazy. But, you know, Carolina at Atlanta, that's a huge game as far as that division goes. The winner there really vaults themselves towards the top. And that's an interesting stat on Carolina as I was going through. We had one of the questions. Yeah, I'll get to that later because it's kind of helped me with the answer. And it's interesting, the Carolina, such a mess they are. But there's an interesting little stat about them at home. Another big game, Seattle at Kansas City. Seattle's on a win streak, and yeah, Kansas City's looking pretty good. They're two teams to me that are really right on the cusp of being really, really good. You know, Seattle, you know, people were saying, oh, what's wrong with Seattle? Because they were sitting at whatever it was, 3-3 or something like that. And they've won 3 in a row, and they're doing, you know, they're looking pretty good. So I think they'll be okay that way. Okay, let's go to the chat room. And we have I tell you what, there's no question about that. A lot of quarterback questions, and the first one I see is Cutler or RG3 today. You know, Washington's home against Tampa Bay. Everything tells me that Washington should win this game. I can't see, I don't know. You know, RG3 to me, I've just lost a lot of luster for him. I was high on him at the beginning of the year coming back. Okay, he's a year removed from that injury and so on and so forth. Even when he was healthy come back, he just hasn't shown me a lot. Cutler, whew, boy, I've jumped off his bandwagon as well. He mopes around more than Droopy on the cartoons. But I don't know. Chicago, they're playing a big division game at Chicago. I think I'd have to roll with Cutler on that one. He just so many weapons that they've been underutilized. They've been underperforming. This has to end sooner or later, right? They're 3-6. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's Minnesota. I think it's going to be a pretty close game, quite frankly. But I think Cutler's going to get his today. I think he's going to put up some numbers fantasy-wise. And, you know, whether or not they win or not, that remains to be seen. But I'll tell you what, I think I'd have to roll with Cutler. Okay, Cleveland to Houston. Here's another game we're talking about games. You know, going for the Ryan Mallett show. I don't know why they jumped on Ryan Mallett at this stage of the season. It's strange to me. And To me, it just tells me that, okay, Houston's mailing it in. We want to see what we have with Ryan Mallett. Fitzpatrick is not our answer, and he's not going to take us to the promised land. You know, and he probably isn't, but I still think when you're sitting in the middle of a race trying to get into a playoff spot, you know, you go with the guy that gives you the best chance. He's a veteran. He's not that spectacular, but he hasn't really been losing games for you. I don't know. It's strange to me. And I'm going to do a double check here again. Anybody in the chat room, make sure, just type in there, make sure that you guys have some sound. And I want to make sure that we're still on the air here. And anyway, we're going to, while I'm doing that, let's do a little house cleaning. You can drop us a line at asylumfootball@gmail.com, asylumfantasysports@gmail.com. Give us a call live, 646-478-4679. And apparently the sound is okay in the chat room, so that's good. I appreciate that. 646-478-4679. And hopefully later on the 11, top of the 11 o'clock hour, hopefully Scott Fish will be in. And if anybody out there has not heard, you know, Scott Fish had some serious health problems this past week and apparently got out of the hospital on Thursday or Friday morning, I believe it was. And he said he might be able to make it on, so we can only hope that he will. And, you know, best to you, Scott. That's certainly don't want to hear anything health-wise wrong with anybody, let alone one of our buddies. So, you know, the best to you, Scott. We hope to talk to you here later on. Anyway, let's get moving on here. And we covered the guys or the teams that are on up. Some of the big games of the week. And one thing I wanted to hit on real quick was last week, you know, we saw, I forget what it was, like 3 weeks ago, Pittsburgh dropped 52, whatever it was, on Indianapolis. Then they dropped 43 on Baltimore. Todd Haley offense is really rolling, right? Yeah. Then they rolled and played the Jets. It's amazing to me that the Pittsburgh Steelers can play, and I don't like to make it sound, you know, degrading, but, you know, Tampa Bay, the New York Jets, the teams aren't as good. They don't have as much talent as Pittsburgh, and it's just hard to see. And you see it with other teams as well, but obviously being a homer, I watch them a lot more. It's really noticeable when you see them just stumbling and bumbling around on teams that they shouldn't be having the trouble with. And it's the teams that you would think, okay, boy, they're really going to have to play their A game today to get by. And they blow them away. And it's crazy. And you see some of this stuff, you know, you saw a little bit of it early on where New England couldn't get any traction, but they were playing bad almost on a consistent basis for the first couple of games, and then they got it in gear. I don't know if I can compare San Francisco to Pittsburgh. San Francisco is a little different. They seem a little, I don't know, just discombobulated the whole team. I think it starts up there with Mr. Harbaugh. And I'm not sure it's not starting with Mike Tomlin on Pittsburgh. We saw the little episode on the kneel down, and it'd be interesting to see what you guys think of that, you know, when Mike Mitchell jumped over the line, you know, trying to disrupt the play. A lot of them called it, you know, cheap shot, this, that, and the other. Others are saying, you know, it's said that it was unprofessional. Am I missing something here? Is there some unwritten code that says you don't have to move because somebody's kneeling down? And I'm not saying that, you know, that I was all on Mike Mitchell here, but to have your coach come out and say it's unprofessional, I mean, to me, that's telling me, okay, we're beat, quit, don't do anything on this play of the game, which is a play of the game. as long as there's time on the clock. Am I not right? I mean, I just think that that's, to me, just saying, okay, yeah, you know, mail it in, we're done. And I don't know. I just get a bad vibe from comments like that. You know, if you take them into the locker room and say, look, you know, I don't want you doing that anymore, that's fine if that's the way you want to run the team. But to publicly say that one of your team members going for it, trying to disrupt the play, maybe knock the ball out of Mike Vick's hands, if that's what was in his mind, is unprofessional, I don't know. I just think that's weird. And I think some of that stuff spills down. I think there's mixed messages with Mike Tallman. But anyway, that's just me. And anything to, you know, bash somebody about. To me, he went for it. And with it, I don't think it's unsportsmanlike or unprofessional if you're actually trying to make a play legitimately. Okay, let's go to the chat room here. We have a standard question, and we need two from McKinnon, West, and Jennings. And you know what? Boy, I tell you, I got later on, there's some questions coming in. There's a lot of Rashard Jennings and West and a few other running back questions. And I'll tell you what, you know, we have Minnesota at Chicago. We have Cleveland. I'll check the schedule here. Make sure I want. Oh, yeah, Houston at Cleveland. And then, of course, Giants are at home facing San Francisco, who we just covered. You know, kind of a little, you know, discombobulated sort of a team as well. The you know, I really like Rashard Jennings. But I'll tell you what I did in one of my bigger leagues is I had Rashard Jennings and Andre Williams on my team. I had the handcuff. I tell you what, I've been running with Andre Williams, and he got in double digits, what, this past week. But before that, it was gruesome. And I made a trade. I traded Jennings, I traded Williams, and I traded somebody else. Pretty insignificant. Brought in McKinnon, because I had Asiata on my lineup as well. Brought in McKinnon. Brought in Keenan Allen, and brought in Rivera, the tight end from Oakland. That's how much I'm banking more on Minnesota's running backs than the Giants. You know, a lot of people say, well, the Giants aren't done yet. I don't know. I mean, they're moving the ball, and, you know, I really like Rashard Jennings, but other than a 176-yard game that he had, I don't think he was over – had over like 75 yards in any other game. And I'd have to check the stats on that. But in my mind, I think I'm going, you know, I really like West, but I don't like the RBBC in, you know, and all these teams have cons, you know, because you look at Minnesota, McKinnon, he does the dirty work, and then Asiata runs into the end zone for the touchdown. But I still think I'd go McKinnon. That's just me. And McKinnon personally, well, you know, I hope it's coming back on, because it keeps saying I'm on air and it's not saying that I'm having any connection problems. So, boy, I tell you what, if we're having them, I apologize. You know, like I said, Cole didn't show up for work today. Fleeger decides to go gallivanting off to Atlanta and for some training on a new job that he got. And we wish him the luck down there. He's going to be down in, 6 weeks, I think he's going to be in Atlanta for training. And actually, I just got a message from Mr. Flager. And in his fashion, you're actually on the air. It sounds good. I couldn't be more stunned. Well, quite frankly, I couldn't be more stunned either, Rick. I did get it on. I'm just so thrilled. And you know what? I'm going to deal with Cole after the show, if he ever does show up again. He's not even answering this email. So, okay, we got a PPR flex. I need to start one, either Pierre Garçon or Frank Gore. But I tell you what, the PPR really throws a hitch into it because Garcon can go off. There's no question about that. I tell you what, though, I still think I'd have to go Frank Gore. If Frank Gore's starting, I've got to go with Frank Gore. And, yeah, I think I'm going Washington. They're inconsistent. They're playing Tampa Bay. I understand that. And it's a fairly decent matchup. But, you know, Frank Gore, I don't know. Until he retires, I am starting Frank Gore. Okay, let's go on. We have a standard question. Wide receiver and flex from Julio Jones, Calvin Benjamin, Alfred Morris, and Bradshaw. Wow. Okay, with that interesting stat that I had. Standard format. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go Calvin Benjamin and Alfred Morris on that one there. Carolina has allowed 3 touchdowns to wide receivers at home all year. The last touchdown given up at home to a wide receiver was week 5 to Alshon Jeffrey. Be it as it may, the mess that they're in, I think I would well, I tell you what. You know, I really like to backtrack on that. How do you bench Julio Jones? You know, there's something to be said about Carolina's secondary in the red zone at home for some reason today. But, you know, if logic dictates, you stand back and say, I'm going to bench Julio Jones because Carolina hasn't given up. You know what? I don't want to sound like a cop-out, but I've got to start Julio Jones. And so I'm going to put in Julio Jones. Now the question is, Calvin Benjamin, Alfred Morris, or Bradshaw for a flex? Wow. Like, who are you starting in place of Calvin Benjamin, like in your wide receiver spots? Because you could sound like you have a loaded team here. Morris has a great matchup, I think, at home against Tampa Bay. And he is a standard guy. There's no question about that. He gets a lot of yards. And the PPR really doesn't come into play. Then again, boy, I tell you what. And I just lost a place here. Oh, there it is. Okay. You know, and Bradshaw, I think it's going to be a shootout with New England. New England's defense has really put the clamps on some people. You know, so I'm going to put Bradshaw out, even though I really love Maud Bradshaw. I can't believe I'm saying we shouldn't start him. But, you know, I think I'm still going to go Alfred Morris, but I will defer to Julio Jones because he is Julio Jones. I don't know how you can bench some of these guys on your team. You must have a loaded team. And that's all I can tell you. I mean, well done. And, okay. He has Emmanuel Sanders in the other wide receiver, and there's only 2 wide receivers. So, There you have it. And I don't know. I think that I can, I've been preaching all year, start Calvin Benjamin, but when you're putting him up against Julio Jones, I still have to go Julio Jones because I like Atlanta this week, to be honest with you. They're at Carolina, stand at, but that's not that far. And Carolina just hasn't shown me a lot. After watching Cam last week, he just looked, you know, as one of the monikers in the chat room, he looks dazed and confused. And he said he even admitted that he's injured. So, you know, I'm going to go Julio Jones and Alfred Morris in this situation. And I believe we do have a call on the line. Oh, nope, he dropped off. So we'll hopefully he can call back in and we can get him back on. Is Oakland going to win a game this year? Can a team go 0-16 in this league in 2014? I'm not sure. They've been competitive. But they're at San Diego this week. San Diego has lost three straight. They're coming off a 37-0 drubbing against Miami. They've been off for, what, 10 days? I don't think Oakland's going to win this week, which puts them at, what, 0-9, 0-10? I can't remember. They had a bye yet, but, you know, it's – they've shown some flashes. You know, Carr starting to pick it up a little bit. You know, Rivera and him have a lot of chemistry. I don't know why I'm talking about Oakland, but I think it's just interesting that a team can go 0-16 in this kind of a league. Did you hear that Adrian Peterson missed a quote-unquote more significant hearing on Friday, you know, regarding his suspension and disciplinary action and so forth? And by Adam Schefter that he missed an even more significant disciplinary hearing on Friday in connection to his violation of the law and an incident of family violence. Peterson previously agreed to attend the meeting before backing out, a league source told Adam Schefter. And according to the report, Peterson would not give the league an alternative date, and it appears as if the NFL and NFLPA have reached a stalemate. This is confusing to me, too. Are they going to discipline him or not? Does he have to show up for some sort of a meeting to be disciplined? They never seem to do it with anybody else. You know, if you're going to discipline the guy, discipline him and get it over with. You know, I don't see where you're handcuffed in this situation. But I just thought that was interesting that, you know, he didn't show up to a meeting. You know, after all this hubbub, he couldn't wait to play and this, that, and the other. And then when he's supposed to show up to a meeting, he doesn't. So, well done, Adrian. And we'll find out how that goes. Okay. If the Raiders play, this is coming from the chat room here. If the Raiders play the Steelers, they will get a win. Yep, you got that right. I agree there. And, you know, Pittsburgh has shown it time and again that they play the level of competition and a lot of times come out on the short end of the stick. You know, and they play Tennessee Monday night. You know, Pittsburgh traditionally plays pretty good on Monday night, but they traditionally play pretty bad against Tennessee. Let's bring it to light here. In case you guys don't know, if you ever get on Twitter, there's one of our friends on Twitter. He's at Zach Law. We actually have a bet between Tennessee and Pittsburgh. He is a Tennessee fan, and, of course, we are, you know, Steeler fans up here, Fleeger and I. And the loser of the game has to, you know, tweet out a picture of the other drinking warm icy light with mango. Pretty good reputation being called Iron, hear the word out that rhymes with city, and that gives you an indication on the level of flavor that we have there. And then we're mixing it with mango, and of course it's going to be warm. So, you know, root for the Pittsburgh guys, please. All right, let's get moving here. Okay, we have a standard question, and we need two. From LaShawn McCoy, here we go. LaShawn McCoy, Alfred Morris, and Bradshaw. I have to start LaShawn McCoy. And we've talked about this. It's getting to the point where we are getting a lot of questions about LaShawn McCoy. Do I start him over him? And so forth. He was your number one pick, obviously. You're obviously your number one running back pick. Alfred Morris has a great matchup this week. And, you know, and we need two of these guys. Alfred Morris is definitely one that I'm going to play. Ahmad Bradshaw, they're at home. It's against New England. And McCoy, you know, Philadelphia is at Green Bay. I don't like that matchup at all. And is it time to cut the ties with LaShawn McCoy? I don't know. And I don't think that you can, you know, depending on your situation, if you're sitting at 9-1 or something in your fantasy league and you want to experiment, go for it. But I tell you what, I just cannot pull the trigger on benching him. He's one of these guys that he has the potential to break out. But I tell you what, with what Ahmad Bradshaw is doing, you know what? Just in my mind, I think that I would pull the trigger on Ahmad Bradshaw and go with Morris and Bradshaw. McCoy is, I mean, I think his highest fantasy total, I think, so far this year is something like that, depending on your scoring. So, well, on standard, probably not nearly that high. But I just think you're with the guys that are being used, and Bradshaw and Morris are being used. So, yeah, I think this may be the week to really, if I have the guts not to start LeSean McCoy, you know, you have to really think about this. You know, I try not to stumble and bumble around, but I'm trying to think. But I think with what you have with Morris and Bradshaw, I think maybe that is, this is the week that you can pull the trigger and bench him. So I'm standing by it right now. Okay. Okay, hopefully we're back online again. For some reason, I keep getting kicked offline. I'm going to try to get back in the chat room here and see if I can reconnect with these guys and see if I'm back on. Don't have any idea, but it's just terrible. I have no idea. Okay, back on. All right. Am I back on? Let me know in the chat room. I'm just going to keep babbling here. I have no idea why I keep getting kicked off. I'm just sitting here, and all of a sudden I hear this long beep, and then guys start typing. I'm gone. Okay, I'm back on finally. I apologize yet again. This is just horrifying. But anyway, okay, what were we talking about when the sign went out? Oh, about pulling the trigger. Oh, he's 9-1. Oh, yeah, we were talking about pulling the trigger on benching LeSean McCoy. You're 9-1 in the league with McCoy. You know, and that's another thing. If you're 9-1 starting LeSean McCoy, why bench him? You know, keep going with what works. If you want to play and you have room to, you know, I think maybe this is the week that you can with Bradshaw and Morris. But if you're 9-1 with McCoy in there, you know, it's almost silly to start messing around with success. So you can take that for what it's worth. It's hard to – sometimes it is kind of a cop-out when you do this. I didn't know you were 9-1 when you asked the question, should I bench a guy? It's kind of hard to turn around and say, yeah, you ought to do something completely different. You're 9-1, you're probably killing people. And, you know, to just switch things around, it's not like he's hurt and so forth. And Philadelphia at Green Bay, you know, it looks like they're going to have to score some points. And I don't know. I mean, Sanchez has a lot of weapons. Somewhere along the line, they're going to have to utilize LeSean McCoy a little more, I would think. Darren Sproles has certainly taken some work away from him. There's no question about that. But I don't know. It's really strange. You know, I know LeSean McCoy, if any of you recall in the preseason or before the season, he was going to rush for 2,000 yards. He'd be lucky if he does 1,000 yards. I mean, they just don't use him that much. And they're still winning. So, you know, that's another thing, too. Why should they change up since they're experiencing success, you know, with the offense that they're running? And LeSean McCoy has been one of the he has been, if not the biggest, fantasy disappointment for where you drafted him, because he was arguably a number one pick in the preseason, you know, on a lot of people's, in a lot of people's leagues. And, you know, that's one thing that I just don't understand. Jamaal Charles was up there. He's doing okay. AP got suspended. And you go, a lot of these number one picks, they have just been horribly disappointing. Calvin Johnson, really no fault of his own. I mean, you know, just not performing. He has been injured, but he's been a fantasy disappointment. I'm just trying to think of some of these guys that were hitting. A lot of RB1 picks there, and he was going up as high as 4 and 5 in the preseason, I can remember. And he's been extremely disappointing as well. You know, Luck, on the other hand, has been a huge success as far as fantasy owners go. Ahmad Bradshaw. I tell you what, this guy could be fantasy comeback player of the year. But, you know, it's been a weird year, you know, the whole way around. Some of these guys that you look for some numbers from, Vincent Jackson hasn't really been putting them up. Wes Welker, huge disappointment. Manny Sanders came right in, picked up where Decker left off, and they're rolling. And Wes Welker's not that big of a deal, that's for sure. Phil Rivers, up until really last week, has been playing quite well. Chicago, totally underwhelming. Elshon Jeffrey, nothing like he was last year. Everybody thought with another year in the Trestman offense that, you know, Cutler would experience a little more success, a better grasp of the offense. And with Forte, Marshall, Bennett, Jeffrey, there'd be no stopping these guys. They're sitting at 3-6 and just look like a total disaster. Carolina, totally new wide receiver core this year. Calvin Benjamin has emerged as a beast, and albeit nothing else on Carolina has been, but he has been an extremely big surprise and pleasant one at that. Odell Beckham, you know, has really shown up for the Giants. You know, Victor Cruz out for the year. Reuben Randall, a lot of people picked him up off the waiver wire. I think he might really start picking up some slack. He's nothing. He's being passed up by Parker. I mean, it's the Odell Beckham show. Keenan Allen's been inconsistent. So, you know, I mean, I'm just going through a lot of these really strange scenarios where people, experts, you know, regular players alike, thought that somebody was going to be rotten, turned out to be really good, vice versa. RG3, certainly not making a comeback everybody thought he was going to be making. Mark Ingram, talk about a pleasant surprise. Just taking that running game, New Orleans running game, on his shoulders and rolling. And not even looking back. And this guy had a hand injury and just picking up right where he left off. Let's talk about the fourth leading fantasy scoring quarterback last year, Andy Dalton. He's pathetic this year. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to find out who really some of the fantasy MVPs are, but and some of the LVPs. Dwayne Bowe, you know, just can't ever make that comeback. I mean, he's a little more significant than he has been, but, you know, Alex Smith just isn't one of those guys that goes crazy passing the football. Cleveland, great team. I mean, not great team, but a very good team. But that RBBC drives fantasy owners crazy. Ben Tate couldn't seem to take the job away from West and Crowell totally, and they're kind of, you know, throwing out the load, the running back load, quite equally, you know, when you start looking around. But, you know, tell me what you think, who some of these MVPs and LVPs might be as we start rolling towards the end of 2014. And, you know, let's look at some of the games here that we talked about, and I'm going to go with some predictions here. You know, without Fleeger babbling along here, schedule. Excuse me while I take a drink there. But we have Chicago at home, Minnesota. And, you know, I don't know. This is a huge game. Minnesota's 4-5, Chicago's 3-6. Logic dictates what the offensive weapons Chicago has. They've got to pick it up a little bit. Minnesota's playing well. Bridgewater's getting better. They're still waiting on decent 1-2 punch from that perspective. Cordell Patterson's disappointing for Minnesota. Greg Jennings, you know, throwing together a decent little season for himself. But I like Chicago, 27-24 in a squeaker. You know, Cleveland at home with Houston. Yeah, they're going with Ryan Mallett. So right then and there, I'm going with Cleveland. And just with the Houston defense, I think it can stay within a touchdown. So I'm going Cleveland 24 and Houston 17. Okay, let's get here. We have a standard, standard flex, Bobby Rainey, Darren McFadden, or Ryan Matthews. You know, I'll tell you what, at home with the return of Ryan Matthews, I think I'd roll with Ryan Matthews, quite frankly. San Diego has to get off the schneid. Three in a row, they're at home. I think Oakland's the team to get healthy with them. I'll take Ryan Matthews. Bobby Rainey, he's interesting and been acquitting himself quite well, you know, to be honest with you. But they're at Washington. Washington's pretty stout against a run. And, you know, that's where I edge Rainey out a little bit. And McFadden, you know, Oakland's at San Diego. I think, you know, for the same reason to have Matthews, not to have McFadden, I think San Diego unloads a little bit today. And in my mind, I'm going with Ryan Matthews there. I think the upside with him is far outweighs, you know, McFadden, quite frankly. And like I said, Bobby Rainey against Washington. Washington's pretty stout against runs, so that's why I have Rainey not over Matthews. I don't like, quite frankly, with me, I'm a little more cautious when guys come back from injury. You know, we're talking Ryan Matthews, we're talking Rashad Jennings, you know, et cetera, that sort of thing. Right when they're coming back from an injury, sometimes they surprise you. They come right in and take the load and go. Other times it's still kind of split and so forth. But I think in the case of Matthews, I think they're going to utilize him in what they used to do with Ryan Matthews anyway. They still have Brandon Oliver probably going to spell him from time to time. But I think they're going to involve him in this offense. Look, they need to get things turned around quick, I think. They've lost three in a row, and it's a must-win. And you do not want to lose to Oakland. There's no question about that. Okay, let's get on to some of these other games here. Kansas City at home, and they are against Seattle. And Seattle's rolling a little bit. Kansas City, tell you, they're equally, you know, pretty impressive with the seasons they're putting up. And I think this is going to be an extremely close game. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. It's going to be a hard-hitting game. And when you're talking both these defenses. But, you know, I just like Kansas City this week at home. And I'm going Kansas City 21, Seattle 20. I don't think I can get any farther away in that. You know, Kansas City 6-3, Seattle 6-3. You know, Seattle's given up 191 points. You know, Kansas City's only given up 151. I mean, it's a pretty good defenses right there, but I'm going Kansas City in this one. Okay, let's move on here. We have, Atlanta at Carolina. And I talked about that little bit of blip of a stat with Carolina's secondary. You know, not giving up touchdowns and so forth, but I think that gets broken again today, quite frankly. And I think Atlanta, they're on their way to a division title, I really think. So I'm going Atlanta 37, Carolina 24. Cam Newton looks dazed and confused last week. He claims that he's injured, and which I do not doubt. Watching him run, you know, there's been some. He's actually hurting himself when he's running now instead of other people. So that's another reason why I like Atlanta. New Orleans, Cincinnati. We need a bounce back from Cincinnati, right? New Orleans, you know, they lost a heartbreaker last week. That's another thing. Give me, you know, what'd you think of that call last week when it appeared Jimmy Graham caught the winning touchdown for New Orleans? Flag was thrown. Oh, offensive pass interference. Jimmy Graham pushed off. Too many ticky-tack calls? Was it a proper call? Were they ripped off? Like, know what you think on that as well. I've watched it a couple of times, and to say it was a wrong call, I can't say that. Do I say they threw too many flags? Yeah. Is there a lot of this year because of that? I think so. I think that it's getting to the point where it's hard to watch a game and you see a play and all you're doing is seeing if a flag's thrown, because 65% of the time on a significant play, there's laundry everywhere. But anyway, let me know what you think on that. Did Jimmy Graham really push off? Was it a good call? Was it a bad call? And are there too many flags? Which I think that's almost a no-brainer right there. Okay, let's go on here. Where were we? New Orleans, Cincinnati. Yeah, I think New Orleans, I'm not sold on what Andy Dalton's doing this year. I like the Cincinnati defense, but Gio Bernard is out. And I think they're going to need him down the stretch. I like New Orleans 27, Cincinnati 22. Washington, Tampa Bay at Washington. I like Washington. I think they win. I think it's going to be a fairly decent game, but I like Washington 30, Tampa Bay 21. Denver playing at St. Louis. And St. Louis is one of these kind of teams that, boy, I tell you, they've been playing their division tough. But they just don't seem to play anybody else all that tough. They got a good defense. There's no question about that. They can get after the quarterback, and that's going to be something to watch, I think. Are they going to get after Peyton Manning enough to at least, worry John Fox? Because what you don't want to happen is have Peyton Manning end up on his back. But anyway, yeah, Denver's got way too much firepower. I like Denver 31, St. Louis 14. San Francisco and the Giants, they're coming all the way across the East Coast to play at New York. You know, San Francisco is one of these teams, they're and everybody wants to believe that they're this powerhouse in the NFC West. Games they have to come across to the East Coast, and they have to lay the hammer down. I mean, they need a win. The Giants need a win, obviously, to even stay alive. But just to start, I mean, they're starting to look like a beaten team before they even get started. So, and I think San Francisco is a better team. So I'm going San Francisco 30, New York 20. San Diego and Oakland, we talked about this a little bit. I think San Diego gets off the schneid. I think it's going to be a competitive game, though. I like San Diego 27, Oakland 20. Detroit and Arizona. I tell you, this is a great game at Arizona. But Carson Palmer, not in there. They have to rely on Drew Stanton. And Detroit has been mystifyingly finding ways to win. And I like Detroit 23, Arizona 22. Okay, Philadelphia at Green Bay. I like Green Bay, no question about that. I'd like Aaron Rodgers over Mark Sanchez all day long, 32-22. New England and Indy. We have Indianapolis at home, Andrew Luck against Tom Brady, having this little tradition start maybe for a few years. New England's rolling. I know Bill Belichick saw what Pittsburgh did to the Indianapolis secondary, so I think maybe – that he may capitalize on a little bit. And I like New England, 34, Indianapolis, 31. And then Monday night, Pittsburgh. They cannot let teams like this hang around. And, with the disappointment some of the weapons on Tennessee has been, Bishop Sankey, Kendall Wright, Delanie Walker. I like Pittsburgh. Okay, and I apologize also. I seem to be spending this whole show apologizing, but I've seen some calls come in and get dropped right away, so I don't know if it has something to do with the connection or what it is. But for some reason, I can't seem to keep the calls hanging on for whatever reason. And I don't know if it's because we have been losing some contact or what. But, you know, 646-478-4679. Try to get in. And I'll be watching as the calls come in. I'll try to get them on as soon as I see one and not put them on hold. Excuse me again. And like I said, I don't know if Scott Fish is going to be coming on. You know, as we normally do, we have a lot of the email questions, the mailbag that we go through. Scott was in the hospital this past week and suffered some health problems. He sent out an email to a lot of people that were in fantasy leagues and so forth like that. He's, you know, he hosts the Scott Fish Invitational where there's like, I don't know exact number, but like 240 experts and listeners alike are in this league, broken down into conferences and divisions and so forth. And, you know, so a lot of people depend on Scott running all that. But he was actually in the hospital with a mild heart attack, apparently due to a virus, not clogged arteries, which is a good thing. But, you know, 35 years old, guy in good shape. You just never know when something like that. We'll see what we got here. We have area code 860. Are you there?
Yeah, what's up, Brick? You having a tough day?
Yeah, what's up, Brick? You having a tough day?
Oh, man, this is just a gruesome day. I mean to tell you, it is a horrible day. Is this my boy Dean?
Yeah. You sound okay. You're not that bad. Oh,
it's gruesome, man. You know, I have Fleeger bailing on me. I got Cole not showing up for work. And I got, you know, these antiquated computers that Fleeger left me, and they just kicked.
Yeah. And I got a massive echo. Can you hear me still? Oh, I lost you.
Okay. You're right here, Dean. Can you hear me?
Okay, I got you now.
All right. What's your question before we lose you again?
Okay, you know. I don't know what all this love is for Travis Kelce. You know, because you know,
if you look at his number,
he's only put up double.
Right.
He's only put up double digits twice. I mean,
right.
the last couple weeks, four, five, and one, nine.
Okay, who's giving him all these love?
Various people. Not so much you guys.
He's one of these guys. He really hasn't even been brought up in the show a whole lot. I mean, you know, if you look at his stats, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8. Now he is 10th in fantasy scoring in PPR formats because of the four touchdowns, basically. But yeah, I see what you're saying. He's very inconsistent.
Yeah, he's driving me nuts. You know, I lost last week, Rick.
Antonio Brown lost by six points.
You know, I lost too, and because Antonio Brown, you know, coughed up those fumbles, and that was just gruesome. I mean, that's just inexcusable. But anyway, with Kelce, who are you thinking of trying to replace him with?
Well, you know, originally I drafted Rudolph, and I dropped him instantly when he got injured. I picked him up a couple weeks ago, and he's going to play today.
Stick him in. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I think his floor is higher than
Kelce's.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, like you said, Kelce had a decent day really soon.
All right, Rick, I lost you there, man, if you can still hear me. There you are.
Oh, I can hear you loud and clear, man.
There you are. Okay, I heard the answer, though, Rick.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, I heard the answer.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's good. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
one
okay, yeah, I would.
One last question.
Go for it.
On this matter. On this matter. This guy in my league is offering me Julius Thomas.
For Calvin Johnson.
For Calvin
that
Johnson.
That would solve this tight end.
That would solve this tight end dilemma.
But I don't like
Who
it.
Who are your other receivers?
Like Antonio Brown and Manuel.
Antonio Brown and Manuel.
Wow.
And LaFell.
I don't know if I could, I don't know if I could do that even up, be honest with you.
Nah, I don't like it.
But
nah, I don't like it.
I don't either. I mean, I would stick with Rudolph and Calvin Johnson, quite frankly. I tell you what, Calvin Johnson is one of these guys. If he starts coming back, I mean, he could put up massive numbers.
Yeah, he's going. Yeah, he's starting today.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that. As good as it sounds, like you would have no tight end problem. I don't know if I could do that and get rid of Calvin Johnson. I really don't.
Well, can you do me a favor?
Well, can you do me a favor, Rick?
Yeah.
If Scott Fish makes it
on, isn't he a Vikings fan?
Yes, he is.
Can you pick his brain about Rudolph?
Pick his brain about Rudolph?
Yeah, I will. We will bring that up, and you know, hopefully he'll come on. I don't know. I mean, certainly if he doesn't come on, I can understand. But we will do that. Yeah, there's no question about that great subject because Kyle Rudolph is. You know, he was a darling in the preseason, and I think a lot of people are anxious to get him back in to see what he's going to do.
Yeah, I'm hearing he's on a pitch count.
Most likely. You know, with that injury that he had, I believe it was like the abdomen through the groin and so forth, and, you know, I don't think they're going to kill him, that's for sure.
All right, Rick, I'll let you
back to your nightmare.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, thanks a lot, Dean.
Okay, take it easy.
And we thank Dean for calling in and bearing with us. And, you know, finally got one call on anyway. I recognized area code a couple of times on Jersey. And pop up and just disappear. So I don't know if that's what's happened to Scott. I don't know. You know, Scott, haven't seen him in a chat room. So I think he may be resting comfortably at home, and I don't blame him a bit. But anyway, let's get to the mailbag. We're going to get started with that. Since we are after 11 o'clock here. And, you know, I had the one, it was a standard question. It was Roddy White or Brandon LaFell. And that was the one when I was asking the chat room. I brought up the Carolina secondary has only allowed the three tight ends to wide receivers at home. And the last one was to Elshon Jeffrey in week 5. That, to me, in a standard format, that's why I'm going with Brandon LaFell. And, you know, I kind of backtracked on the chat room question. I can't bench Julio Jones. However, I think with Brandon LaFell, I can bench Roddy White. And he has been coming alive, and I think Atlanta's going to win today. But, you know, quite frankly, I think Brandon LaFell has turned out to be a huge surprise in New England. And, He's the guy that Tom Brady's starting to rely on in the wide receiver category. Obviously, Gronk is still his favorite target, I believe, but I like Brandon LaFell. McKinnon, Ben Tate, or Joik Bell in PPR? You know, Reggie Bush is out, and, you know, normally you'd say, oh, man, this is a no-brainer for Joik Bell with Reggie Bush out. I tell you what, both of them have been disappointing. Reggie Bush is always banged up, and even when he's banged up, Joik Bell just certainly is not, you know, putting up these huge numbers. Ben Tate hasn't been able to, you know, just carry the load in Cleveland. We covered that a little bit earlier on. It's RBBC in Cleveland. And, you know, Ben Tate, you know, he could probably score. You know, give him some red zone chances and so forth. But I think in my money, I think in a PPR format, I think I'm going McKinnon. He doesn't catch that many passes. Obviously, they seem to throw Asiata in there at times for that. But I just think McKinnon has a better chance of putting up like a 100-yard day for you, quite frankly. I don't think Tate's going to get enough carries. And Joik Bell, they just haven't been running the ball all that effectively. They find ways to win. you know, we talked about Detroit that way. But, you know, he's going to be running against that Arizona defense. And Carson Palmer's not playing, but, you know, he doesn't play defense. And that thing's pretty stout. So I think I'd have to go McKinnon. Okay, let's go to the chat room here. We have a couple of tough ones. We have 1 point PPR. And we start two running backs and three wide receivers. Ooh, okay. Vereen, C.J. Anderson, Bradshaw are the running backs. Okay, Bradshaw definitely. And you know what? I think I'm going Bradshaw and Vereen. I like the Patriot-Indy matchup. I think it's going to be a pretty good shootout. Anderson's intriguing, but Monty Ball's going to be back. I can see that being split. I know Hillman's out, but I think they're going to try to get the Ball in there. And I really like what Bradshaw's been doing this year. Vereen, he's kind of the little joker there. He can be huge or not huge, to be blunt. But then I don't mean LeGarrette blunt. But I think I'd still go Bradshaw and Vereen. When you got a full-point PPR, I like Vereen out of that backfield. Okay, now we'll cover the wide receivers. We have Fitzgerald, Roddy, T.Y. Hilton, and Bryant. And we start, three wide receivers. Okay, well, Hilton is my one. Bryant is my two. And I'll tell you what, with Drew Stanton in there, I think Roddy would be my three because he's actually been coming on. I like Atlanta's matchup. You know, not so much with the Carolina secondary as far as scoring, but I don't know. I think Ryan's going to throw for quite a few yards. I like Roddy White. I'm not convinced that Arizona's going to look that great against that Detroit defense. So I am going to go Roddy White, T.Y. Hilton, and Martavius Bryant. And, you know, we appreciate that question. That is a tough one there. So best of luck, Storm Quad 7 there, you know, 777. You know, best of luck on that one. Okay, let's get back to the mailbag here. And this is a PPR format. And this is a tough one. This goes back to one of the chat room questions. You know, have LeSean McCoy in there. We have to pick two out of these running backs. LeSean McCoy, Rashard Jennings, Bobby Rainey, Alfred Blue. Alfred Blue has been thrown into a question with LeSean McCoy. And you know, a couple weeks ago, you'd think that's okay, that's ludicrous. But, you know, Arian Foster's out. Alfred Blue is starting. We see what Arian Foster can do. Is Blue going to do that? Probably not. But is he going to get maybe 65 to 70% of what Foster does? Maybe not, or maybe so. I still say I have to start McCoy. Jennings I'm not all that high on. I think he's still going to yielded some reps to Williams, and they're playing San Francisco. Bobby Rainey, he's just an intriguing guy, but I just don't like his matchup at Washington. So, therefore, I'm going to go McCoy and Blue in that scenario. I like the potential of Blue, even though I don't like Ryan Mallett starting for them. But, you know, I think I'd gamble on Blue. Okay, we have a standard question. Marshall or Wayne? I definitely Brandon Marshall to me. I've seen a lot of Reggie Wayne questions come in. And I tell you what, he just has not been, you know, he's just not been that fascinating to me. I mean, I thought Reggie Wayne was going to be pretty significant this year. You know, the way Andrew Luck has been performing and as good as the Colts are, obviously. But, you know, T.Y. Hilton has certainly just taken over that scenario there. Reggie Wayne, you know, to his credit, I mean, he's got over 500 yards receiving. But he had a 119-yard game way back in week four. And since then, he's gone 77. 35, 15. He did not play against Pittsburgh. And then he did come back against the Giants with 70 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, that was nice to see. Then they come off the bye week, and now they have New England. I think he's going to get his, but I don't know. I can't bench Brandon Marshall. If I'm benching Brandon Marshall, it's going to be for Dez Bryant. It's going to be for Calvin Johnson. It's going to be for maybe, I don't even know if A.J. Green would go in there right now. It may be for T.Y. Hilton, but it's not going to be for Reggie Wayne. So I'm still going to go with Brandon Marshall in that. And, okay, here we go. Glad to hear Foster's out. Let him heal. I am a Foster owner. Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, you just can't. Look, if you're going to bench Ryan Fitzpatrick, why in the world would you try to force Arian Foster in there with Ryan Mallett? I mean, that's a good point. You know, if you're going to bail on the quarterback, the veteran quarterback, the guy that started, and albeit you guys aren't that good, but I said from the beginning of the year that they were basically a paper tiger. I didn't think they were nearly as good as what some people thought when they first started off. But Houston's a middle-of-the-road team. And if you're going to just say, look, you know, Fitzpatrick, you're on the bench, we're going with Ryan Mallett, then you better not be forcing Arian Foster in there. That was a good one. Okay, we have a non-PPR flex or a standard question. Andrew Hawkins or Rashad Jennings? I'd have to go with Jennings. In fact, I had to check the status of Hawkins. I know he was a little banged up. And this guy's been putting together a pretty nice little season, quite frankly, you know, with Cleveland. You know, everyone's awaiting the return of Josh Gordon. And I'll tell you what, I don't blame them a bit. But, you know, Hawkins, as we were talking about, has put together a pretty good little season. You know, he's got 39 catches, 504 yards. The thing I don't like is he only has one touchdown. Rashard Jennings could get that, you know, with one red zone plunge. And, you know, so I really like Jennings a lot better in this situation than I do a Hawkins. And, you know, everybody talking about Josh Gordon coming back, I've got him stashed in a couple of leagues. I can't wait. And I know Cleveland can't wait. They're waiting on him to join the team. I think it's Monday. I think he's allowed to join, or maybe Tuesday after the Monday game, he's actually allowed to join the team. But what's that going to do to Cleveland? Is that going to, in your mind, put them over the top, division champ, you know, automatically into playoffs? Or does it create a little turmoil? Or does it leave them about the same because it's still Brian Hoyer? You know, are you a Hoyer believer? I'm sort of a Hoyer believer. I mean, I'm starting to think he's almost like an Alex Smith. And, you know, he is probably backing Cleveland into a corner because, you know, what are they going to do? He's taking them, as it stands right now, he's taking them to a division title and a playoff spot. Now, they're going to have to pay this guy next year if they truly believe in him, or if not, are they going to cut him loose? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Brian Hoyer has really put himself in a kind of a lucrative position. Hey, this is a guy that no one paid any attention to, you know, a year ago, really, or 2 years ago especially. Even last year he kind of came on and went 3-1, then he blew his knee. But now, yeah, here he comes. And like I said, he's back in Cleveland into a corner. They're going to have to make a decision on him, depending on how this season plays out, of course. But all things staying the same, they win the division, go to the playoffs, win or lose. I mean, they make the playoffs. That's a huge success for a season. They're going to have to pay this guy, or they're going to have to make a deal with another team somewhere along the line. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. As far as I know. Okay, let's go on. We have a, okay, we did the Roddy White question. Here we go. Monty Ball, Ryan Matthews, DeMarco Murray. Or not DeMarco Murray, Darren McFadden. Excuse me. And I had D-Mag wrote down. I wrote DeMarco Murray well. Okay. Darren McFadden, Ryan Matthews, Monty Ball in PPR. To me, we mentioned this before. Monty Ball's coming back. I think Anderson's going to get a lot of playing time in Denver. Of course, there may be a lot of playing time and a lot of points to go around for everybody in Denver, you know, playing St. Louis. But I really like Ryan Matthews coming back today. I'm not much on these guys just coming back. As I mentioned before, Ryan Matthews coming back, Monty Ball coming back, you know, Rashard Jennings coming back, et cetera. D-Mac's been in there, but it's Oakland. They're at San Diego. You know, he doesn't thrill me. Give me Ryan Matthews every day on that one. Okay, we have Matt Stafford or Eli Manning. You know, and every question, every week we have Eli questions. And deservedly so. Because you don't know if you're going to get bad Eli. You don't know if you're going to get good Eli. But one thing I do know is the New York Giants have moved the football. But Detroit tends to win games. And Matt Stafford with Calvin Johnson back, with Golden Tate, and I can leave it at that. You know, Reggie Bush is out, I know, and Troy Bell, he's going to do what he's been doing, I think, all year. But I think just with Tate and Calvin, I think Stafford is the play over Eli. And I just got to roll with teams. To me, I have to roll with a better team, I think, when all things are said and done. Even if this question's kind of up in the air, I think I roll with a better team and teams that are winning. And therefore, I think it's Stafford all the way. Yeah, Ryan Matthews or C.J. Anderson at PPR. That kind of goes back to the Monty Ball question. I think in C.J. Anderson's case, I think Monty Ball is going to get some playing time. And even though there may be points to go around for Denver, I still like Ryan Matthews. And, yeah, I may be wrong. Maybe I'm riding a little bit too much on San Diego has to get off the schneid. They've lost three in a row. They're playing Oakland. They're at home. It's a perfect scenario. Maybe I'm reading a little more too much into that than I should. But for my money, I think I'd go Matthews over Anderson. And, you know, I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and say, okay, you know, I'm gone all in on San Diego this week. And I'll just have to live with it. Okay, Anquan Boldin, Mike Evans, Dwayne Bowe, Mohamed Sanu, pick two in the standard format. Mike Evans is on fire. And even though Tampa isn't that good, Mike Evans is. And I'm going Mike Evans just, you know, from what he's been doing lately. Dwayne Bowe, yeah. You know, I'm still not high on Dwayne Bowe. He's making a bit of a resurgence, but I don't know. I just can't buy into him. And, you know, Mohamed Sanu, after this 86 yards, three pick performance by Cincinnati last week against Cleveland, do I want to say, okay, I'm going to go with Mohamed Sanu over Anquan Boldin in a situation like this? Not me. Anquan Boldin right now, I mean, you look at what Michael Crabtree is not doing, it's Anquan Boldin is basically the only reliable San Francisco wide receiver. So I'm going Mike Evans and Anquan Boldin in this situation. Okay, well done for the solo effort, Mr. Briggs. Well, I certainly appreciate that. And I can tell you that it was as difficult as it sounded, I must say. And with all the technical difficulties that I had and so forth. But let's keep rolling. We still have a few more questions to get through. And this is an interesting one here. You know, Russell Wilson or Big Ben? You know, we don't get a lot of questions about Russell Wilson, really, or really Big Ben. They're kind of like these guys people almost take for granted. Big Ben, a lot of guys stash him on their bench, maybe head. I don't know, maybe they drafted a Brady. This is at the beginning of the year. Maybe a Rodgers, and Ben was there, threw him on the bench. You've seen what he's done, and it drives you crazy. He can throw for 6 touchdowns, or he can look totally buffoonish at times. But all in all, Ben has been fairly consistent this year, even though last week, no touchdowns and so forth. He still had 340-some yards. Well, he did have that late touchdown with Bryant. Excuse me here. And Russell Wilson, the thing I don't like about Wilson, I love this guy. I want him quarterbacking my team, NFL team. I don't necessarily want him on my fantasy team. He's a little different from Tony Romo. I want Tony Romo on my fantasy team more than my NFL team. Russell Wilson's the other way go. I think I'm going Big Ben. I mean, the upside with Ben is phenomenal. Let's get back into the chat room here, if I may. And excuse me, along with technical problems, not having physical problems here. Okay, we have a standard question. McKinnon, James Jones, Rainey, Reuben Randall, Michael Floyd. You know what? McKinnon and Jones, to me, stand out. I don't want anything to do with Reuben Randall. Hit on him a little bit here just in the last few minutes. Bobby Rainey comes up a lot, and I like Bobby Rainey. I really do. I just don't like his matchup against Washington this week. And therefore, I'm going to have to throw him out a little bit. Michael Floyd, now with Palmer out of there, I don't know what to make of him. He has been strange all year. And until I see him, I don't like him. But as a fantasy asset, I don't think I want him right now. And there's just something about, getting a goose egg, from a wide receiver that I just can't live with. So I'm throwing him out, and I'm going James Jones and McKinnon. Okay, Martavis Bryant. I'm in love with this kid. Yeah, boy, as am I. Big, strong, and fast. And, yet I still see him in a 20 to 29 wide receiver range. What am I missing? I see nothing but a stud. I'm not sure what you're missing. What you're missing is, in my mind, is this to see in Kansas City when Kurt Warner was there and in Arizona, excuse me, and then in Kansas City when they had Jamaal Charles. I think when this offense is on, they're unstoppable. And I think you're going to see more of that. And Brian is just that big target, and he's a huge red zone stud. I mean, you look at the touchdowns he's been putting up the last 4 games. You can't stop him. And I don't think you're missing anything because he is a stud, and I think he's going to be just a huge, huge success in the future. Antonio Brown and Bryant, they're going to be talking about these guys like they were Marshall and Jeffrey, I think, next year, going into next year. I mean, they can put up those kind of numbers. So, I don't think you're really missing anything. I think you got him assessed correctly, quite frankly, when we're talking about Martavis Bryant. So I'm going to check the chat room here because we're about running out of time. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left here. And I think we've got everything caught up that way. So that's good. Let's get back to the mailbag here. And, we're going to pick 2 in a PPR. Marcus Colston. This guy's in a bit of a pickle here. Marcus Colston, Wes Welker, Greg Jennings, Kendall Wright. Boy, I tell you what, I'm assuming this is for like a wide receiver 3 or a flex spot, judging by the caliber that we have to choose from And, well, I tell you what, Colston drives me nuts. Don't want anything to do with him. Too inconsistent. Greg Jennings, I like the season he's putting up right now. Wes Welker, same thing as Colston. You see what Denver's doing. Welker's not a big part of that. I tell you what, I'm going Greg Jennings and I'm going Kendall Wright. You know, Colston may burn me, but, you know, he may put up 2 points too. Greg Jennings, I know about what I'm going to get out of him. I'm going to get about 4 to 6 catches, and I'm going to get probably between 50 and 80 yards. And I might get a score out of him. So I'm going with Greg Jennings, and I'm going Kendall Wright. Pittsburgh tends to give up some yardage and some points. And like I mentioned way at the beginning of the show, in between power outages and everything else, the Pittsburgh defense, they have 4 to 5 starters out today. So I can see Tennessee scoring some points, and Kendall Wright will probably be some of it. So I'm going Wright and Jennings. Okay, and then the final one here, we have a PPR. Larry Fitzgerald with Stanton at quarterback or James Jones? Yeah, that's interesting. James Jones has been one of these kind of guys. You hear him every now and again in a question, usually for a flex or something like that. And, you know, certainly not in the same conversation as Larry Fitzgerald. But now Carson Palmer's out of there, right? And, you know, James Jones has been doing what James Jones has done all year. And he's been putting up kind of like a Greg Jennings sort of year, if you think about it. And, you know, I'm not sure that I want to get him out of my lineup for Larry Fitzgerald, who, when Drew Stanton was in there, was basically invisible. You know, we saw John Brown's numbers go way up when Stanton first came in there. And, of course, it made perfect sense. They were on the second team together, and they did a lot of practicing together. But, you know, James Jones, he's only had one game over 100 yards this year. And, you know, he's only had 3 touchdowns. But for the most part, he's a 60 to 70 yard guy. He hasn't been doing much the last couple of weeks, but they played at Seattle and then they played the Denver game. And, you know, he had 20 yards, but he had 8 catches. Or he had some rush yards, whatever that was. I mean, he's actually he had 10 fantasy points, which means he's at least in the offense. So I think I'm going James Jones over Larry Fitzgerald. So there you have it. That's out on a limb. So we are about out of time, and I want to thank you guys for putting up with me. There's no question about that, because I had more problems than you can shake a stick at. And, you know, I kept getting kicked offline and everything else. But, you know, I appreciate everyone listening. And what I have to say to you is, you know, I apologize once again for all of the mishaps. Scott, I hope you get better, and I hope to talk to you next Sunday. Fligger, you know, there you are, down in Atlanta, living the high life. Go for it, pal. Good luck in your training. Everybody else, thanks. Yeah.